Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome to Protecting What Matters. It's 12:30 and the bear is back in the building. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We hopefully have two really great segments this today. From 12:30 to 1, I have scheduled Megan Barth, who is the executive director, executive editor of the California Globe, specializing in investigative journalism. Unfortunately, she hasn't called into the station yet, so we will take some time reviewing some of her recent articles until she does, and I'm looking forward to getting some of your comment. One of the things we wanted to talk about, were you wondering where your tax dollars have gone in recent years here in California? We have been covered so much massive fraud in this state over the last 30 days that it's incredible. And I've also been following the story of the lies and potential crimes of Eric Swalwell and his enablers. And then now that Swalwell has dropped out of the Democrat race for governor, the leader is Tom Steyer, and Megan has done a great job of covering who this guy is and what our two Republican candidates, Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco, are up against. So hopefully Megan will be calling in and we'll be talking to her, but if not, I'm going to chat with you, hopefully. From 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we're going to be speaking to Larry Nissenson and Andy Friedman. Larry is the chief commercial officer, and Andy is the corporate development and brand strategy leader for a company called Assured Allies. And Assured Allies is all about wellness. We're going to be talking about why healthspan and not lifespan is the new well-being metric. We'll talk why wellness you're seeing a total proliferation of wellness programs now that are revolutionizing health insurance and the future care we receive. And then we want to speak about tying your health span and wealth span together for a better future. Larry and Andy will really give you some great information starting in the 1 o'clock hour. So you can call in with questions or comments or text in 805-238-5775. 238-KPRL. So as you know, we've had Katie Grimes on from the California Globe, and Megan is right up there as far as her prolific covering of a lot of these the fraud, waste, fraud, and abuse in the state of California. And one of the things that came up earlier this month, and I want to mention it, is, as some of you may know, I post our podcast version of the radio show on social media on Thursday. And I think two or three Thursdays ago, I can't remember who the guest was, but I made the comment on my post that California is a Potemkin state. We hear this comments constantly from Gavin Newsom and other state officials that California is the fourth largest economy in the world. Well, of course, part of that is because, most of that is because California is the home to all the high-tech stuff in Silicon Valley. But the simple fact of the matter is California is struggling, and people in this state are struggling. In fact, Megan Barth reported in the California Globe just this morning that UCLA does an annual survey for the last 10 years on the quality of life in Los Angeles County. And in the 11th year, which this is, UCLA ranked Los Angeles County 52 out of 100. So half the people who were surveyed are basically reporting that living in California, Los Angeles in particular, COVID restrictions, the fires, lack of action on that front, homelessness, and the city is going nowhere. And I think California is endemic of what's going on in California. We really live in a state that's hollow. If you know the metaphor of the Potemkin village was the Soviet Union. The old Soviet Union would set up fancy cities. The Chinese Communist government has done this as well. Fancy cities that look beautiful for all the left-wing press that wants to come and report how wonderful socialism is, when in fact there's nothing behind it. And so ultimately, you know, we're coping with this. We're paying for this through amazingly high taxes and poor services. So back earlier this month, one of the articles that caught my eye from the California Globe was California's bloated bureaucracy. Over the last 10 years, the state has added 518 agencies and 25% more employees to state government, and 48% of spend at a 48% spending surge as population has actually remained flat. Of course, we have a huge outgo of productive people and all kinds of unproductive people in this state now, because folks who want to work, they don't want to pay ridiculous taxes, whether it's income taxes or property taxes, are moving to low tax states. So the question is, why? And I'd like your opinion on this, my listeners. What are your thoughts? Where is the state of California going wrong as far as spending all this money and we're not getting the services that we deserve? What we're paying for. Another story that's interrelated, of course, is that. And something that we cover on a regular basis here on Protecting What Matters is the notion that the state's always got money to hire consultants. So we know about all this waste, fraud, and abuse. But earlier this month, Gavin Newsom signed something. He hired a consulting firm for another $20 million to study waste, fraud, and abuse. And of course, this consulting group, the Boston Consulting Group, it's the same elite firm that now employs his former cabinet secretary and Department of Finance director, Anna Matasantos. And so basically, it's a revolving door of government employees who work for Gavin Newsom, work for the state government and the federal government for that matter, and they leave government and end up getting sweetheart consulting deals to study why money is being fraudulently spent and wasted in this state. I know we have plenty of that here in our county as well. There's not a month doesn't go by that some new consultant isn't hired for this or that, to study why things are not going the way they're supposed to be going here. So I'd like your opinion on this. Give us a call at 805-238-5775 or send me a text. You think we're living in a Potemkin state? And I've got a call. Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. Do you think we live in a Potemkin state?
Of course we do. And I just got to say two things. One, I'm in the wrong line of business, bud, because I should become a consultant. Secondly, right, if the government, state government, needs consultants to tell them that there's something wrong with their budget, I think that says everything that we need to know about them, to be honest. I mean, if a lay dumb guy like me knows exactly pretty much where the fraud is, It's. I don't see how they don't see it.
What do you think of this Medicare fraud and scam that was uncovered earlier this month? Again, a lot of stuff happened early this month where they, and in this particular case, was this Medicare fraud pertaining to I believe it was in-home supportive services, which of course is Medicaid, and also. The other thing that's involved here, and it's an area that I've often wondered about because it's kind of part of my, area of insurance, is the whole notion of hospice care. There's been, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of billions, really, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of fraud, where people, first of all, you've got all this hospice, you have all these hospice agencies that are really just empty offices somewhere in, like, Los Angeles, right? And and they're billing the Medicare system for hospice services, probably on non-existent people, and that's what they're uncovering. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I only know what our favorite young investigative journalist Nick Shirley has uncovered.
Yes,
and it's astounding. It really is. And the problem is that these programs, while they were originally designed to help people that are truly in need, there is like a sort of incentive for the people administering these programs and contracted with the state to get as much volume as they can get. And it's just inherently there, right? Because if I'm running a business and my business is to get funding for contracts to do these services, I'm going to want to do as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's strong enough regulatory oversight over these people. I mean, I've got other opinions as to whether or not we should be just handing out Medicaid and stuff. But, I mean, that whole system, you know. But it's really just like the way it's designed to incentivize fraud, in my opinion. And I'm interested to see what happens. I've been following Nick Shirley in his reporting. And as you may know, they're trying to pass a bill, I guess, called the Stop Nick Shirley Act or something. So they know, and now they're trying to cover it up.
Well,
us young people are following guys like that, and we're well aware.
Well, yeah, so let me ask you this. I mean, you know, so I'm an old guy and, of course, grew up with legacy media. But guys like Nick Shirley or even, you know, the California Globe, I mean, we really have to rely on independent sources of journalism for the news today to get really accurate information.
Yeah, I don't watch any legacy media at all. I follow smallish creators. I engage in long form debates, and I listen to people on TikTok Live flesh out their arguments. Facebook, YouTube. That's really the new medium. Because with legacy media, there's so much power and from the top trying to force that narrative. But with YouTube, you can start an account, anybody can, and you can put out your content. It can be fact-checked, and if people agree with you, they'll just keep watching it. So I have a whole list of guys I watch, and I'll never watch mainstream media again.
Right. You know, so, you know, one of the things on this in-home supportive services and hospice fraud is that, you know, it used to be, and you know, I don't know if you know this, but my real business is I've been in the long-term care insurance business for many years and in the life and health insurance business. And one of the aspects of getting older is in what a lot of the, where a lot of this fraud happened is in hospice care. And it used to be that, in order to receive hospice care, which is paid for by Medicare, and it's palliative services. So basically, either your doctor used to say, well, this person has less than 6 months to live, and therefore we're going to provide them with palliative care, make them comfortable, and we anticipate that they're going to pass away within 6 months. And that used to be the criteria for being qualified for hospice care through Medicare. But all of a sudden, and I've noticed this over the years, there are people that have been on hospice care for years. That's where the scam is. That should have been a, what's the word I'm looking for? That should have been a red flag to a lot of people, that a program that was theoretically designed for 6 months to help people die with some dignity.
Dignity, yeah. Do you think it's kind of jamming the system up too by just having so much? Because I know, like, my ex mother in law, she was in a care home like that on Medicare. Mm-hmm. She passed away, unfortunately, of cancer. But my ex father in law, who I still talk to, he has a very hard time getting into doctors and doing all this stuff. And I have a feeling it's just because there is such a huge backlog of people and services. And I know another thing, just before I top off, the CalFresh and Medi-Cal programs also have a huge amount of waste and abuse. I personally know of a few people where they are on Medi-Cal, and then they get flyers in the mail saying, hey, we'll give you tailored nutritional meals, and then someone will go to Albertsons and buy food and drop it off for them. Mm-hmm. On top of their food stamps, on top of all the other stuff, they just kind of rubber stamp things from the doctor. You know, the weight loss medications are now kind of being rubber stamped. And there's an incentive there, obviously, to get volume, because the reimbursement rates, I think, are pretty low. So it's just the whole system is screwed up. And it's unfortunately going to hurt the people who really need it.
Well, that's the sad fact of it. I mean, there are truly needy people in this country that need to take advantage of the social safety net, whether it's Medicaid, you know, Medi-Cal in California, you know, the food stamp programs, the SNAP programs, and that kind of thing. Well, when you've got all this fraud happening, then somebody is not getting something. Somebody's not getting the service that they really need in lieu of somebody who's taking advantage of the system.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think the way the system is designed, it's designed for people to just take the easy way out. I still sort of remember my parents used to tell me that you wouldn't go and take that aid or be caught taking that aid unless you really needed it, because it was kind of a thing like, I have no other option. And unfortunately now, it's like that's the first place some people go because it's the easy way out.
Well,
it's the easy way. You know, I mean, we could argue if that's a whole nother topic, right? Do we welfare and who we give it to? But this whole problem is like I said, I'm a lay person, and I think we've kind of consulted the issue right there. I mean, I'll take a check, please. You know, it's the whole thing's ridiculous, man.
You clearly have a future in consulting. So,
I'm going to quit my day job. Yeah.
well, thanks so much for your knowledgeable call. Call in anytime. Thanks.
Right.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, and along these lines, as we go into the break here in about a minute, there was another article in the California Globe by one of their writers, Mitchell Sanses, and he's talking about how, you know, again, that our system, our homelessness is paying for homelessness are paying for sex change operations for illegal aliens. So the byline on this, taxpayer funded Medi-Cal. So again, Medi-Cal is Medicaid in California, and it's generally split 50-50 between the state and the federal government. It's a one-stop shop for gender affirming care, including cross-sex hormones, breast implants, and genital surgeries. So again, this is clearly an aspect this is waste. It may not be. It's probably fraud as well. But the point of the matter is, our social welfare services are not being used properly. Hey, it looks like Macon just called in. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be right back. So stand by. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. It's been a crazy morning, and thankfully, Megan Barth from the California Globe, the executive editor of the California Globe, who specializes in investigative journalism, is now on the line. Megan, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Well, thank you so much, and it's a great title of your show.
Well,
so that's what we're trying to do.
Well, good, absolutely, and you know, we're probably going to have you back on to unpack. I spent the last 20 minutes talking about all your waste, fraud, and abuse articles, and actually had a very good caller, a young man who you know, has seen the light. He decided he wants to become a consultant for the state of California and make millions of dollars. So it was.
I I really got into the wrong gig, you know? He's on the right track.
You know, we've only got you now for about 5 or 6 minutes, so let's just jump right into this. You know, and again, we will have you back. I'll reschedule you maybe for next month, because you're prolific in your writing and everything. But talk about the Eric Swalwell thing. What's the latest on that story? Obviously, it's totally upset the Democrat, governor's race. What's your take on that?
Well, very quickly, I actually have an exclusive coming up, so stay in tune to the California Globe. I'll be publishing that shortly. I just received it about an hour ago. But Eric Swalwell's infidelities have been known by Democrats for decades, for years. This goes all the way back to when Nancy Pelosi had the gavel as Speaker of the House. And she was made aware from the FBI that they had a file on him, that he allegedly was sleeping with a Chinese honeypot, a Chinese spy by the name of Christine Fang. And she did not remove him from the House Intelligence Committee, even though he could have been blackmailed and obviously compromised. He was also compromised and could have been blackmailed from the multiple rumors of his alleged affairs and his treatment and harassment of staffers and other women, other Democratic women. These weren't Republican women. The Republicans weren't the one that framed Eric Swalwell. There were multiple Democratic activists, staffers, women that came forward telling their stories, their sordid stories, and allegedly where he would spike their drinks. They would become blackout drunk. They would wake up and know or suspect that they were sexually assaulted by Eric Swalwell. Not only Nancy Pelosi knew about Eric Swalwell's proclivities, if you will, multiple Democrats. You know, Ruben Gallego, the senator from Arizona, Democrat, can't feign that he had only heard that he was flirty. No, the rumors persisted and followed Eric Swalwell as far back as when he was on the Dublin City Council. But yet Democrats chose to promote him, protect him, but they didn't choose to protect women from Eric Swalwell. And this tells you everything you need to know about the priorities of the Democratic Party. Whenever they had an opportunity to protect women or believe all women, especially during the Me Too movement, they certainly didn't do that on behalf of the victims of Eric Swalwell. So now when we look at the governor's race, it's really interesting. The two Republicans, Chad Bianco, sheriff from Riverside, as well as businessman Steve Hilton, are still in the top two of the jungle primary. So guess what Democrats want to do now? Eliminate the jungle primary because it's not working to their advantage. So again, this shows you the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party, especially if Democrats vote for Tom Steyer. Why do I say that? Three reasons. Tom Steyer is a billionaire. That's one thing Democrats hate. Number two, he made his billions off of private prisons, another thing the Democrats are against. And number three, he made his billions off fossil fuels, something the Democrats want to eliminate. So Tom Steyer is a trifecta of what the Democrats don't like. But yet you will have Democrats pulling the lever for Tom Steyer. And so he's made some gains as far as peeling off some of Swalwell's supporters, but not enough to catch up to the two Republicans who are leading the ticket.
So what do you think the Dems are going to do here now? Are they going to circle the wagons around one candidate and try to push him to the front? Or do you think Steyer is the guy at this point?
Well, you know, when you look at the teachers union, a pretty powerful teachers union, I believe it's the California Teachers Association, the CTA, I believe they are backing, is it Becerra? And so that's interesting. So, you know, they're going to have their teachers and their union members, you know, campaigning on behalf and perhaps ballot harvesting. I'm not sure what the ballot harvesting rules are in California and Nevada. They're awful. I don't think you have unlimited ballot harvesting. But in California, you know, I lived there up until 2015, and I lived there for a little over 30 years. And then I escaped Nevada thinking I was going to a red state.
Whoops.
But we're red in terms of having a governor, but our legislature is just as radical as your legislature in California. The only thing stopping California policies from metastasizing here in Nevada is due to Republican Governor Joe Lombardo.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I don't trust California's voting system. I don't trust that you have clean voter rolls. Actually, I know you don't have clean
right.
voter rolls. And so, you know, even though the Republicans are in the lead, until those voter rolls are cleaned up and we don't have dead people or illegal aliens on the voter rolls or non-citizens on the voter rolls, you know, we will continue to see Democrats eke out wins, you know, by a percentage or two. As we saw, I'm sorry, in the 2024 election, you had multiple Republicans in Congress leading on Election Day, and then all of a sudden, a month later, they lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that's not the case again, but this is the first time. I mean, it's kind of history in the making as we're watching these early results. You might have two Republicans in the general election unless there's something that happens, you know, during the primary.
Yep. Megan, we're coming up on the end of the hour. What's the best yeah. way for people to follow you?
CaliforniaGlobe.com.
All right. I'll touch bases with you next week and we'll get you rescheduled, okay?
Excellent.
Thanks for calling in. Take care.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Folks, we'll be back on the other side of the break with Larry Nissenson and Andy Friedman of Assured Allies. So stand by. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. This hour's guests are Larry Nissenson and Andy Friedman of Assured Allies. Larry is the Chief Commercial Officer, and Andy is the Development and Brand Strategy Leader. We're going to be talking about why health span and not lifespan is the new well-being metric, how wellness platforms are revolutionizing health insurance and the future care we receive. And just so, for those of you who know, you're going to want, if you're a CalPERS member and a CalPERS long-term care insurance policyholder, you're definitely going to want to hear from Larry and Andy because of their relation of Assured Allies relationship with CalPERS. And then we're going to be talking about tying your health span and well span together for a better future. Larry and Andy, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thanks for having us, Barry.
Thanks.
Good to have you.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Folks, you can call in with questions or text in with questions as well or comments. 805-238-5775-238-KPRL. Andy, I want to start with you because you told me when we spoke last week that you were the first employee of Assured Allies, about 11 years ago. So tell us a little bit about Assured Allies and what the company does, and then and how it's changed over the years.
Well, first, Barry, thanks again for inviting us on the show. We're really excited to talk to you today and share a little bit more about our story and the types of solutions that we're bringing to the market. Going back, it was just over 8 years ago, I was introduced to the co-founders of Assured Allies, and we came together with a shared mission to make the experience of aging better for all. We didn't really know what that meant. I think we were all going through personal experiences of caregiving in our own lives. Myself or my, at the time, my 90-year-old grandmother who just passed last year. 6 days shy of 100, but we knew that there was a lot of flaws in the system, and we were all coming from different backgrounds. Myself, a consumer marketer, I'd worked for big brands like Visa and General Mills. My co-founders were, one was a physician by training, the other was a technology specialist who had sold a prior company. And we stumbled into the world of long-term care insurance as a place where we thought there was, it was ripe for innovation. The reality is that we discovered that only 6% of adults over 60 have long-term care insurance coverage, but everyone probably needs this type of support as they age. And so we saw a market that could use some help And that's what we've been working to build. So we've assembled a team of clinicians, researchers, data scientists, marketers who have been bringing wellness solutions to life over the last 8 years, and we're happy to share that with you today.
Well, thanks. And really, just before I go to Larry, tell or Larry can answer this question too. Larry, you and I go back almost 10 years now in insurance world. Tell us again. Give us the high. Tell us about why you moved from an insurance company to a wellness company, and then what Assured Allies is really trying to accomplish. And, you know, in the bullet point sense.
Absolutely, and it's hard to believe it's been a decade. I don't think you and I should stack our years in the industry together. I think that might be a scary number. It only took me 30 years to figure out if I wanted to bring any sort of change and innovation to the insurance industry. I needed to leave the carrier space where I had spent my entire career and move over to the innovation side, to the startup and technology side. And Assured Allies is on a mission. It was an inspiring mission that they started, which was to help people figure out what I describe as the financing of aging. How are people going to pay to grow old? And I know in a little bit later we're going to talk about the baby boomers and the shift in the way they've moved the markets. But suffice to say that Assured Allies is here to help people figure out how to both age well and live independently for as long as they can, and how to save money in such the way that when it comes time to pay for this care, they've accumulated enough money to be able to pay to have the help they need to live as long as they can on their own. And when I heard that mission, and Mary, you can appreciate that I've probably heard in my carrier days 500-plus pitches from companies that had an idea. Assured Allies was the first one I had ever heard that, as I was peeling back the layers and asking more questions, I was getting more excited and finding more real material stuff underneath, not just a pitch deck. And it was inspiring enough for me to leave that side of the business after 30 years.
So am I correct in saying that basically Assured Allies is you're really a vendor to insurance companies in the long-term care insurance space, but really the health insurance space, okay? And you help the insurance companies keep their clients healthier so they age better, right? and more successfully. I mean, is that putting it in a nutshell?
Yeah, that's a great description. I think the reality is we often get asked by consumers, and when we get into the CalPERS partnership, we'll talk a little bit more about how this works. But I think there's a lot of shared interests here. If you talk to most people and ask them where and how they want to age, they want to age independently at home.
Right.
That's a shared universal desire. And I think this is something that we've studied a lot of the science in aging, and the reality is that most disability is avoidable, preventable, treatable, or at a minimum, adaptable. You can adapt to your environment and your situations to make it easier to maintain your independence for as long as possible. And so there is an incentive for insurance companies to help provide programs like the ones we offer that benefit the consumer, benefit the policyholder, because they're able to achieve their goals. And transparently, it also helps reduce the cost for the carrier. And that's where it's really a win-win for both parties.
So obviously we've heard a lot about wellness since the MAHA movement, the Make America Healthy Again movement, but you guys came before that. So why has wellness really, you know, taken off in this country? In your thoughts, how has it changed? How has it taken off and moved forward?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it's encouraging to see wellness become more of a universal trend, and it's something that we believe has a lot of longevity, pun intended there. We see a couple key drivers. One is that we're living in an era that has drastically changing demographics, which are reshaping the way we think about care and the societal impact of an aging population. The reality is that we do not have the proper supports in place to accommodate the 10,000 people who are turning 65 every day as they age. And the burden of that is often being felt in ways that you don't want or wouldn't expect. A lot of that's being placed on family caregivers. That was part of our personal motivation to starting Assured Allies. And that coupled with the fact that 80 to 90% of negative health outcomes are largely driven by what's called social determinants of health, environmental factors, that if identified earlier can be treatable, there's a real logical financial motivation for why wellness just makes sense. I think to add one more dimension is that longevity, more broadly speaking, has become very popular in certain circles. You're seeing lots of influencers and different products coming on the market to think about how we can all age well for as long as possible. Now, what we see in that is a lot of the longevity movement has been co-opted by younger demographics. Millennials and Gen Z are really all in on the longevity trend. And we see a gap there. We see an opportunity to really think about what we'll call the long in longevity, which is like, how do you make sure that you're supporting those later years and making them as great as possible? And so I think the combination of the fact that a lot of these things, our disability as we grow, some of that is avoidable. The reality is that if we don't treat it, there's going to be significant costs for society and governments to bear. Really leads to this moment where, well before MAGA became kind of the, or MAHA became the popularized term, we've seen that opportunity for many years.
Yeah, and I think, Barry, there's a little bit more than that. I agree wholeheartedly, of course, with everything Andy said, but I think that there's also the demographic shift that we think of as the baby boomers moving through life cycle. That's also a driver of all things longevity-based. Like, we think of the, there was a Wall Street Journal article, for those that read the journal, back on the 13th, that talked about boomers are turning 80, now they want to change old age. And I think that that's a driver of everything we've seen for the past 80 years, starting, you know, in the 40s, where they reshaped what it meant to want to be a homeowner for their parents. They reshaped what children's toys and children's clothes, how they reshaped the gaming industry. As they got older, they reshaped what the teenage years and television and radio and all of the life cycles that the boomers have gone through because of the great size and wealth that they've both accumulated and their parents, the silent generation, spent on their behalf, has reshaped consumerism and all of the adjacent marketplaces. And now that they're turning 80, that has led to a boom in longevity as well, right? You look at both in the 55 and older communities, you look at the surge in older age athletics. I'll lean into the pickleball trend for just a second. Although Andy's much younger, he's a pickleball player. We'll lean into a part of that. They've reshaped every market as they've come through their cycles. Longevity is only the latest of those trends that they're shaping.
Well, I think what's interesting to me is it cuts across so many of the different topics that we're dealing with, cultural, ideological, technological. There's so many fascinating aspects of the wellness thing that I think it captivates a lot of people. What do you guys think?
I you're 100% right. Look, you know that I've done, I don't know how many seminars and consumer talks over my career, and I always start with this question, you know, how many people, by a show of hands, can't wait to move into a nursing home? And, of course, it's a provocative question. And only once did I get a hand that went up, and it was somebody who was trying to be a little bit of a wise guy. But the reality of it is nobody wants to move as they age. They want to live in place. They want to live independently. They have this vision of themselves living the lifestyle they've always dreamt and worked their careers through in order to get to, and they just didn't know how to do it. Today we live in a world where we can hyper-personalize what wellness looks like, show people that even with small, minor alterations, they can age well, they can adapt to their environment, we can recraft housing now in such a way that nobody has to choose or B, have a nursing home chosen for them. And everybody wants to live the lifestyle they want to, and thankfully we live in a world that they can choose that. As long as they start sooner rather than later, and that's really what Andy was leaning into, this idea of how early can we get people to start to make small, tiny shifts in behavior that have dramatic impact on bending that curve.
So, yeah. Just to build on Larry's point there, I think it is all about these small steps, and we've had the privilege of being able to support tens of thousands of program members in our wellness programs over the last 8 years. And when you talk about their motivations, of course they don't tell us that their main motivation is to move into a nursing home, but they also aren't talking about how they want to run a marathon, even though some of them may. It's about, I want to be able to play with my grandkids, as I age, or I want to be able to make sure that I'm able to kind of go hiking with my spouse on that trip that we've been planning on taking. And I think those are the realistic goals that we work to help consumers achieve. How can we put in place the plan? And I think that is, it makes wellness far more accessible and real to an individual's life.
How have misconceptions about Medicare and other government programs clouded people's thinking about aging?
Yeah, it's quite frankly, it's the single biggest blocker of people making a proactive move on their own. The misconception that Medicare will cover their aging needs is something we as an industry have been trying to undo for decades. And it's a little bit like bailing out the Titanic with a soup spoon, if you will. People continue to think, no matter how much information is out there, that Medicare is the magic elixir. Once they hit 65, all of their needs will be taken care of, when the reality of it is we know that Medicare has a very limited use around non-medical needs. The quality of life, the activities of daily living are not covered by Medicare, but most people believe they are. And frankly, I think the states, for some reason, considering that they're the backstop to all of this, you think they would do a better job of getting that news out there, but they also don't do a great job of redirecting some of this educational need back to the very folks that are dependent on that Medicare system.
It's interesting. You didn't hear our first half hour, but a young man called in. We were talking about all the Medicare and Medicaid fraud that's going on and being uncovered in the various different states. And he was a young guy, and he basically said, well, it seems to me that when we have all this fraud, the people that really need these services never get them. I said, that's the whole point. And again, maybe the government is trying to take on too much in its role in providing this, and I don't know what the answer is there, but you guys, we shared these reports here together, and in the last few minutes in this segment, I'd like you to touch on this on page 5 of the Milliken longevity ready report. They talk about the dimensions of planning for aging, health, social connection, finances, care support systems, home environment, and community. So these are the core elements of aging well. You guys want to touch on any of these before we move into the break?
Yeah, we think about these different pillars of aging well as core, kind of the way we support any individual we work with. I think stepping back for a second, there's an important construct that we can quickly touch on, which is the difference between lifespan and health span.
Mm-hmm.
And just to define some of those terms, lifespan obviously is the number of years that we will live. Health span, which is the more important metric to most individuals, is how many of those years will we live well? Will we live in healthy status? And there's increasingly a gap. For many, and some of those are driven by kind of the growth and things like dementia and Alzheimer's, other chronic conditions. But the goal is, how do we extend health span, not extend lifespan? And that's really where I think most of these kind of innovations are taking place. And a lot of those do come into these different dimensions of aging well that you touched on.
I hear the bumper music, so let's take this on the other side of the break, okay, Andy?
Sounds perfect.
All right, guys, I'm going to put you on hold, and folks, I'll be back with Andy Friedman and Larry Nicenson of Assured Allies. We're talking about aging well, and so please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Larry Nicenson and Andy Friedman of Assured Allies. You can call or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Andy, you were touching on these various components of you know, I guess it's really the care that, you know, all the various, the interplay of the various different things. You want to wrap that up before we go into the CalPERS program?
Yeah, of course. And I think the one thing that we didn't get to in those pillars is really the financial wellness aspect.
Correct.
And that brings in a new concept to touch on, which is this idea of we talked about lifespan and health span and the gap between them. As we look at the challenge in the market, we also look at wealth span and the gap between health span and wealth span. And so it's great if you can extend the number of healthy years that you have. But how are you going to fund your additional years, whether they're healthy or unhealthy? And I think this is another problem that we think financial planning plays in a critical role in, which is, well, how do you ensure that you have the protection should you need care, and what does that look like? I think Larry touched on this when talking about some of the misconceptions around Medicare and the safety net that exists or does not exist for most individuals. And we're really fortunate to be working with carriers like CalPERS, and be able to provide our program to the fortunate individuals who have a long-term care insurance policy with CalPERS. But we also have innovation that's trying to bring new products to market that might be able to help that gap as well. I'm so happy to talk about both of those.
Yeah, so this is a great segue into what you're doing with CalPERS. This is a fairly recent development. I think it all came together last year based on my research. Tell us a little bit about how you guys connected with CalPERS and what you're doing with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's hard to believe, but it's been almost 2 years since we've been live with our program with CalPERS. And with CalPERS, they really were forward-thinking. They saw the opportunity to provide more support to their policyholders and be there in advance of increasing need. So this kind of idea of providing a wellness program, we call it the Age Assured program that we offer to all CalPERS long-term care policyholders over the age of 75, where they're all eligible to get support through our health coaching program. And with CalPERS, they put out an RFP. They took a wide look at different providers. We were fortunate to be selected, and the response we've gotten has been really, really great to hear. Larry can even share an experience where we were at a board meeting with CalPERS last year. And we had, do you want to share the story of the person who called in?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And we had the pleasure of being out at a board meeting presenting both the early results and some of the anecdotal comments that we've gotten from members who had called in, who we've helped, and we've got some stuff that we can share later. But we wrapped up our session and we were just about to walk out. For those that aren't familiar with the way CalPERS works, they have a live call-in, and so members can call into this open board meeting. And although it seemed like a plant at the time, it really was just a member from CalPERS that called in and essentially said to the board and everybody else who was listening, this is the greatest program I've ever participated in. Their coaching is incredible. It's motivating. It's one of the best programs we've ever heard from CalPERS. This is what the CalPERS member was saying. And me and our team members that were there had the pleasure of hearing it in front of the board and smiling at the board and getting that recognition of things that matter to us, right? We're here to not just create a wellness program that looks good on a website, but to help impact and influence in a positive way members' lives. And this particular member was happy to call in and share that. It was perfect timing.
Yeah, and just to give you a little bit more context and share with your listeners exactly what does it look like to be a part of a program like Age Assured, We really use the coaching model not just to identify the problems that an individual might be facing, but work together to figure out how do we solve those and continue to work with them until we feel like we have the proper support in place. So as an example, we may be speaking to someone who really wants to kind of be continuing to do the daily household chores that we all either love or despise, vacuuming, cleaning the kitchen, what have you. But in talking to one of our health coaches, it may come up that they're still using a plug-in Hoover vacuum that weighs over 100 pounds. And that's not the best thing if you're lugging that up and down stairs a couple times a week. And so we may have an opportunity to ship them a lightweight cordless vacuum, which is a small cost, a small incremental change to their life, but can really reduce the risk of falls.
Beats the hell out of caring for somebody that falls down a flight of stairs with a 100-pound vacuum in their hand, huh?
Absolutely. And what we often find is that when we share these things, it wasn't that individuals didn't realize they had a challenge. They just were unaware that they could do something different. Mm-hmm. Another one of our favorite things that we can provide to members is a product called the Handy Bar. The Handy Bar is a grab bar for your car. It literally fits in. If next time in your car, you can look down and you can see there's a little metal clip by your seat, and we can just plug this in and help someone get in and out. It's something we used with my own grandmother, you know, just to help her get it out. It gave her a sense of independence. She didn't need me helping her get in and out of the car, and it provides that same risk of falls. I think there's so many of these different types of products out there, and sometimes people just need someone to tell them about them and help put them in their hands so they can start seeing the benefits.
So I'm looking at the PowerPoint that's on the CalPERS website about Age Assured. And so basically, let's unpack this. So this is for policyholders, you know, long-term care insurance policyholders with PERS. At what age does it kick in? When can people start utilizing this program?
Yeah, so they can start using it at age 75.
Okay.
They receive you know, a communication, a mailing from our program about kind of their eligibility, and then they can simply call in, or we actually put in place a prepaid mailer that they can mail back, kind of an onboarding questionnaire, and that's how they get started. And so we have a phone number. People can call and speak to the coaches anytime. But it's pretty easy, and we're seeing great response and engagement. And as Larry shared, the types of feedback that we're getting from CalPERS policyholders has been incredible.
And so the goal is to reduce the incidence of disability and keeping people independent longer. Is that correct?
That's a great way to frame it. It's kind of what we're working to measure with CalPERS, but from the consumer perspective, it's really to make sure that they get access to all the support they need to age the way they want.
Mm-hmm. And then I see, you know, I think, why don't you take a few minutes to describe the program pillars, because I think this is really important for people to understand how this all fits together.
Yeah. So going back, we talked a little bit earlier in the show about kind of the different challenges that might be, different opportunity areas that people face as they age. And, and I think with the Age Assured program, we're really trying to focus on different things related to activities of daily living. So dressing, bathing, nutrition, these are fall risk. We're trying to make sure that we can do whatever we can to support individuals prior to kind of the need, prior to the event. So it could be some of the examples I gave around the lightweight vacuum or the Handy Bar. It could be trying to make adjustments to their home environment, providing durable medical equipment like a walker or a grabber, or a raised toilet seat to make those types of different daily activities a little bit easier for individuals. But it's all about trying to reduce risk. Risk of things like falls, risk of caregiver burnout. Often we're working with individuals who have a family member, a spouse, or an adult child who's supporting them. The more we can help increase the independence of the person they're caring for, the more respite and, you know, ability they have to continue to provide that invaluable service. And so we think about those things as different ways that we can help guide someone to the right solution for them.
And I think just to add one little bullet, I think the important part, what we've learned, not just through CalPERS, but through all of our Age Assured and Never Stop programs, is that personalized interventions are what really matters. sending somebody the cookie-cutter approach, Barry, doesn't work. They need to know that they're speaking with somebody who understands the individual nature of their position. And when we're working in coaching with a CalPERS member or any of our other age-assured or never-stop members, right, we get very granular with them. What is it that we can do to help you? And that feeling that we're along with them on this journey, whether it's episodal, trying to get them from A to B, or if it's a longer-ranged goal, really helping them make these small incremental changes, they know that we're doing it really in a personalized way, and it makes all the difference in the world.
How does the coaching occur? I mean, is it all basically by phone or by Zoom meetings? I mean, what does that look like for people?
Yeah, so in the CalPERS program specifically, most of that is telephonic. So people can call in, speak to a live health coach after the pre-published hours. We try to be accessible all throughout the day. But we're kind of continuing to innovate there. So in the future, you can imagine, and we already have some programs live. Larry will talk a little bit more about our Never Stop program, where we have more digital engagement, where you can either do a live Zoom call or even interact through our app with the digital experience. But just to be specific for the CalPERS, it's mostly through telephonic coaching relationships.
You want to touch on the whole wearables thing, Larry? I mean, I have a reluctance. I'm constantly getting these offers for an app to monitor me for this or monitor me for that. I mean, you know, I'm concerned always about the privacy aspects of that. I mean, are you seeing good adoption of wearables and other, you know, app-driven tools in what you're doing?
So first of all, the answer is yes. And Barry, I'm going to let you in on some really terrible news. They already know everything they need to know,
I know.
About you, right?
I don't want to make it easy for them.
Right. There's no coming off the grid at all. And truthfully, people are getting more and more, continuously more and more comfortable with the sharing of information. What many studies have shown is it's not so much the sharing of information, it's the what is the gatherer of that information doing with it and how does it help or hurt me. And what we see, whether it's the Oura Ring, whether it's the newest version of the Apple Watch or anything in between, when you can show people that adoption equals healthier outcomes, they seem certainly in our program, very, very comfortable with it. I'll give you just one tangible example. In our Never Stop program, when we launched that with Equitrust going on 4 years ago, we included a Fitbit wearable device for all members. And the idea behind that Fitbit was that it would share some of their health data, some of their exercise data with us. And the goal in that was really to help use that to help craft better wellness programs. And the members needed to sign an agreement form in order to be able to use the Fitbit with us. And I don't recall the exact statistic, but we had something around a 90 or 95% signing. We only had a very few that wouldn't, and of course in those cases we gave them something else. But I think when we explained to people why they needed to agree to this and what the benefit would be, in that small anecdotal example, they for the vast majority were comfortable with it.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add, Barry, is I think the increase of adoption of wearables, we continue to see widespread growth in that space. I think there's not only the benefits of sharing data, I think increasingly these products also kind of can be lifesavers when it comes to kind of fall risk and fall alerts. They're basically the new purse type of solution. But I think we see that the data alone is not sufficient. Knowing how many hours you slept or how many steps you took on its own isn't going to necessarily change behavior, which is why we believe that kind of the coaching element, that human touch, is a critical element. Without one, the other will not be sufficient. So even though we're seeing increase and we promote usage of wearables and we're encouraged, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but Medicare has launched a new program called the Access Program under CMS, where they just approved the initial 150 health providers and wearable companies that can be funded through Medicare.
Oh, I saw that, actually.
And that's a great innovation.
Yeah.
But our fundamental belief still stands. It's like giving someone the wearable isn't alone on its own isn't sufficient to change their risk profile, their outcomes. You need more. And so I think there's going to be a lot of people coming together to solve those types of challenges.
Yeah, I mean, with all of this stuff, it's kind of a self-actualization. You have to self-actualize on something and get into it to make it valuable for yourself, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Exactly. Real quickly, I just want one more question on CalPERS. I see from this presentation, and again, this may be older, you had a great initial response rate in the first 6 months of the program. Are you getting, is that continuing? Are you getting more and more policyholders using the Age Assured program with CalPERS?
Yeah. You know, I think we see the answer is yes. We continue to see more increased adoption, and I think that comes from a couple different areas. One is the fact that we continue to remind them. It may have been that you didn't see. We all get, you know, information in the mail, but we don't always respond to it. I think the more important reason why we get increased adoption is that people's lives change.
Yeah.
Something that wasn't relevant to them 6 months ago, all of a sudden I kind of had a change in my life, and now it's relevant. So that's why this is a long-term partnership we have with CalPERS, because we know that every year people's needs will change, and we want to be with them for that journey.
So before we go to the break, and then Larry, if you want, or and Andy, before we can go hit it after the break, let's talk about the Never Stop program, because this is something that I think is really important. Because you know if you stop moving, you're dead. I mean, that's and so this is really a program to help people moving, and I think this is and getting to the point where you know I live out in the country, and I try continually every day try to do weed whacking and brush clearance and that kind of stuff just to keep moving, and it ain't getting any easier for me, but I know how important it is. So let's talk about this how Never Stop works and what kind of results you're seeing from this.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'll give you a little bit of a teaser, and then we can come back to it afterwards if we don't get through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To Andy's point in the earlier conversation about our CalPERS Age Assured program, that's amazing for those that are over age 75. For those that are over 75 and in a long-term care plan with CalPERS, this is an incredible program for them. But it prompted a question from our board and from our clients and advisors that essentially said, if you can make such dramatic changes to somebody in 75 and 76 and 77, what could you do if we started earlier? What if we got to people at age 50? What if we got to people at age 55? What would that look like? And that created the beginning of what we would call our Never Stop Wellness Rewards program. And this Never Stop Wellness Rewards program is embedded inside of new products, new long-term care-based products that are in the market. We have one that's in market today currently with Equitrust Life Insurance Company, called the Bridge product. It is not, I'm just going to give you the disclaimer, it's not yet approved in the state of California. It was filed 3 years ago, so I'm optimistic, you know, that at some point before I retire, we're going to see an approval in California on this. But that remains to be seen. But it is approved in 46 states, and that asks a slightly different paradigm, as I mentioned. So that paradigm is, how do we help people in their 50s and 60s reshape what their aging looks like? So it's less about providing grab bars in the shower. It's less about how do we help people transfer from the bed, you know, get out of bed and make their first steps in the morning. This is about how do we keep them active? How do we keep them involved? How do we make sure that people who are aging can age successfully by keeping themselves motivated, active, engaged, whether it's through volunteerism, whether it's on cognitive or physical? There's about 150 different areas of wellness that the Never Stop Wellness Rewards program focuses in on. And what's amazing is that we had a very concierge heavy program, right? And where people were calling in and scheduling sessions to speak live to a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found in this demographic is they said, this is amazing, but I want to do it on my own. Hmm. I want to be able to do the research. I want to be able to self-serve myself. And so we've created, we launched it shortly, a couple of months ago, and we're going to talk about it, Barry, on the other side of
yes.
it. We'll give you some great
details. Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to put you on hold, guys. And we will be back in about 3 minutes with Larry Nissenson and Andy Friedman from Assured Ally. So stand by. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Larry Nissenson, Chief Commercial Officer, and Andy Friedman, Corporate Development and Brand Strategy Leader for Assured Allies. You can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Next week's show is going to be all Paso Robles for 90 minutes. We're going to be speaking with Paul Sloan, who's the Economic Development Manager of the city of Paso Robles, and one of the primary topics I want to unpack with him is our proposed spaceport here in Paso Robles. And then also for 90 minutes, we're going to have Chris Bosch, who's District 2 Paso Robles City Council member, and he's got a lot of great stuff to bring us up to date on what's happening here in Paso Robles. So don't miss that show next week. Okay, Larry and Andy, finish up real quickly on Never Stop, on the Never Stop program. When you say a younger demographic, describe that. What is that? As opposed to 75, what are you going down to now?
We start our current product, again, Bridge by Equitrust, is available to anybody over the age of 50.
Okay.
So that's, think 50 to 80. And we have another product in development right now that actually skewers even a little bit younger. Somewhere between 40 and 45 up to age 80. So we're really trying to stretch out and greatly increase the impact, the positive impact on aging through wellness for that younger segment.
So I'm looking at the your website here, and it's assuredallies.com, folks, for anybody who wants to go visit the website. But to give us looks like you have four primary categories, meeting people, engagement, simplifying science, aging well, and personalized support. Do you want to unpack any of the aspects of any of those four right now?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One, to go back to what Larry was saying, we're using age here as kind of a different element, but at the reality, we all know that age is just a proxy for kind of where we are. We never are as old as we are. We feel much younger. My parents are in their mid-70s, and they're currently hiking somewhere in Singapore.
Wow.
And I aspire to that kind of trajectory for myself. And so for the way we think about wellness, it's really the personalization that we talked about earlier is the critical element. Whatever matters most to you today is what we want to be there to support, and that could be adapting to kind of some condition or change in your life. It could be preparing for playing catch with your grandchild. And so I think that's when we think about the dimensions. We would encourage any of your listeners to check out our Never Stop website as well, www.neverstop.com. Where you can learn more about kind of how we take that approach of small, meaningful steps that lead to big results. And in that program, we have over 150 different healthy actions that someone can take. Back to those pillars that we talked about earlier in the call, it could be about getting your home in the right environment. It could be kind of your nutrition, your sleep, whatever matters to you. And really thinking about both the science, that human support, and then rewarding people for participating. So in the case of the Bridge product, we may be able to increase your amount of insurance coverage, but there might be other rewards that we can provide, whether it's wearables or other things that might be offered to the policyholder.
Are you giving any thought to creating a standalone service?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's increasingly what we hear from the members is, hey, my neighbor wants this program. How can I get them access? And so it's a conversation we're very actively starting to have. So it doesn't just need to be. Today, the only way you can get access to Never Stop is by buying Bridge, but we hope that's changing very shortly with some of the new relationships that Larry touched on and new partnerships that can make Never Stop available. At the end of the day, we think everyone should have access to the right support to age well. never stop if that's the solution. We want to make that as readily available as possible.
Yes, it sounds like it really sounds like a great program. Any other things you look in your crystal ball, if you can share anything, what you're looking at for future projects and what people can and look forward to as you guys go into development on new things?
Yeah, I would say that we are looking to double down on our belief that we need to help people both with aging well and the financing of that aging. As Andy mentioned earlier, only single-digit percentage of those over the age of 65 have long-term care coverage. We continue to believe that aging well is important, but having a separate pool of money put aside is just as important, so that we're controlling two of the levers, one around funds to bring care in when you need it, and the other is to push out the need as long as we can to bring that caregiving support in-house. And we're continuing to develop new products, some of them at the retail space, some of them through worksites, so think employee benefit plans. Every place that employees and consumers, aging consumers congregate, we want to have a product and a service that matches their need in that location. And ultimately, if we can create sort of the Hollywood Squares approach of covering all of the squares, we believe that we can help as many people as possible age successfully and live independently for as long as they can.
Well, it's really all about literacy. So it's health literacy and financial literacy, really, which is something that, you know, we've talked about for years, and it's very, very important. So, folks, again, it's neverstop.com. You may want to check that out. And Larry and Andy, we always have lots to talk to, so come back again soon, okay?
We sure will, Barry. Thank you so much.
We'll stay in touch. Thank you. Folks, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the rain. Take care.